Welcome to the American Way,
where we,
Ollie Burke,
Elliot Jeffrey, and Will Loney, will be dedicating each individual episode to an American sport.
We speak to Division I stars and professionals as we find out what is required to compete at the highest level.
Talking to soccer stars, basketball ballers, and American football phenomena,
we discuss the schooling system in the USA with top-level athletes and how it's helped them in their journeys many dream of.
Follow our socials at The American Way and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Join us as we explore The American Way.
The following podcast was filmed while the interviewer was in England and the interviewee was in the United States of America. Due to this, we had some issues with the audio connecting correctly. Thank you for bearing with us and bear in mind that we've tried our best to make the audio as good as we can. Thank you for choosing The American Way. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the American Way podcast. My name is William Lowley and I'll be your host today, featuring question contributions from both Ollie Burke and Elliot Jeffries. Today we'll be speaking to former Grimsby Town player and current Eastern New Mexico Greyhounds defender Emil Powles. At the age of just 18, Emil made his professional debut for Grimsby Town Football Club in a cup competition called the EFL Trophy in England. After being released from Grimsby Town, Emil decided to take a trip across the pond under a scholarship programme, where he has dedicated his time to studying and playing football, or as more commonly known in the States, soccer. So without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome, Emil Powles.
Emil, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Right, Emil, I'm just curious as to how you got over to the States. So let's start at Grimsby Town and let's discuss through how the move to America came about.
Yeah, so I've been I was at Grimsby Town from under nines till the age of 18. So I spent a good 10 years there, and then unfortunately I didn't get offered a contract, and it's been something I've looked into for a while now, the opportunity of getting an education and playing football or soccer, what they call in America. So I've always wanted to travel, so it's been a big part of mine. So when I didn't get offered a contract at 18. There's many stuff I could have done. I could have gone to Sweden, I could have gone to university in England, but I decided to go to America, and I went with an agency and I sent my video footage out to different universities, and then the universities would contact me from then, and then would speak about different scholarships, the price of the school, and stuff like that.
So you're 20 years old now. When did you move over to America?
So I came out in August 2019. So I've been a year and a half, nearly 2 years now. But unfortunately, due to COVID, I've only played 1 year, and then it stopped in the previous year. So I've got 3 more years left of eligibility playing at college level. So yeah,
that actually fits in quite nicely, this next part, because we had to arrange this podcast around your finals. Tell me a bit about how different it is education-wise in America compared to the UK. Because obviously, over there, you've got your scholarships and they're so heavily based around grades. And this and that. Just run us through
it. Yeah. So in America, you do 2 semesters. A semester is like a 3-month period. So we have the fall semester that goes from August to December. And then we'll have a month off at Christmas. And then it will start in January for 3 months. And then we'll have 3 months off at summer. And these are the 2 semesters. And in these semesters, when you're younger, so the year is freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. When you're in your freshman and sophomore years, which is the first 2 years, which I'm currently still in, you will take like your general education classes, which is like the basics, say like maths, mathematics, and English again. And then once you've done the basic classes, you'll go to start doing classes towards your major.
And what is it that you're majoring in, Emil? Because I'd imagine studying and playing football at the same time, you perhaps want something in relation to football or soccer, but maybe that's not always a possibility in America.
So my major is psychology. So I've done a little bit on psychology and some science classes and stuff like that. But in my last 2 years, I'll concentrate more on them classes. And we have a, in America, it's done on a scale out of 4, and it's called GPA, which is, depending on what grade you get in your class, will accumulate to a certain GPA. And the maximum you can get, the maximum GPA you can graduate at college with is 4.0, which will mean you got A's in every class throughout the whole 4 years of your classes, which is a really good score. You got to be really clever for that. Mine's currently at like a 3.3, which is like B. I'm getting probably averaging like B's, which is anything above 3 is like good. And to go to different schools, you'll need a certain GPA. So for example, if you wanted to go somewhere like Harvard, maybe you'll need like a 4.0, and it's quite expensive. But yeah, and then to transfer, you would also need to, certain schools offer, so which cuts the cost of the school down. For example, at Eastern New Mexico, I was actually getting paid to go to school. So I had all my education paid for, I had my house and paid for. All I needed to do was go to class, and they was like paying me for that, which is really good, and which is quite rare, to be honest, because say if the school was worth $15,000 a year, someone might get offered a 50% scholarship, which would mean them and their family would have to pay the other half, which would be like $6,000 or something like that. I don't know. So yeah, that's the education in America.
In a normal day, where maybe you've got some training and education, what would a day look like over in the States?
Yeah, so as I said, soccer is like a fall season in America. So whereas in England, like football's all year round, basically. In America, it's usually August to December, and then you'll just train after Christmas for 3 months, which is not great. But I don't know, the Americans do it like that, but. So in fall, we usually travel. We have a lot of games, and our conference is in Texas. So it's the size of Texas is huge. So we'll play Thursdays and Saturdays, and obviously we'd get exempt from classes, and we'd have to let our instructor know that we're leaving. So we'll drive to one place to play the team on the Thursday, which for example could be like a 12-hour drive. And then we'll find another team in the conference that is like relatively close. So it might be another 4-hour drive after we play. And then we'll play them on Saturday. Then after Saturday, we'll probably stay another night in the hotel. And then we'll head back to where we are, which could end up being like as long as a 13-hour drive. I know we've flown to a few games. And then the furthest one we've drove to on the bus was 19 hours. Which is a long way, especially when you're in England and everything's like 3 or 4 hours away maximum. So that's a bit of a surprise. And then, but a regular day in spring season when we're out of season would be you have like a weight session at 6 a.m. till 7 a.m. Then you have class from like 8 a.m. to roughly 12 p.m., which is depends on your classes really. And then you might even have them till 2 p.m. And then depending on what time of year, like I know in spring it got to it got to about 40 degrees, like 35, 40 degrees around 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. So I knew we had to train. Some days we'd do 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at night, which is like makes it a really long day, but you don't want to be out there training when it's 40 degrees. So
exactly that. So over in the UK, you know, a normal school day, as you'll know, would usually be 9 till 3 or 9 till 4. How was it adapting to the early starts? Was it something that you were okay with, or did it take a while to get used to?
I mean, at Grimsby, I would always used to start like 8 a.m., which is fairly early, and that would be me training. But here, we have gym sessions at 6 a.m., which like it does take a bit of getting used to. But the day is finished probably like 1 p.m. until you train at 8 p.m. So you've got a massive gap there where you can maybe take a nap, but it did take a bit of getting used to. But when you realise how hot it is to train in the day, like you don't want to be doing that. So
without further ado, all of us at the American Way are delighted to introduce Rondell Bothroyd,
Jode Campbell,
Emil Powles,
you're not going to want to miss out.
The American Way, available now wherever you listen to your podcasts from.
Dietary needs, how is it over there? The food being over there a lot easier to access, you know, than maybe over here. Do you find it easy to stay on diets, or do you even have a dietary plan, or do you just go with whatever?
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, I obviously want to keep eating well, but I'm kind of on a student budget as well, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the best cook. I try and eat like chicken, rice, pasta, you know, stuff like that. But especially before coming to America, I've read like about, you read about fast food and all that, but it definitely is a lot easier to eat out in America. Like the fast food, there's literally, I know the town in New Mexico I was in was probably like 20,000 maybe, which is a really small town. And I'm in a town now worth like, I'll probably say like 1 million maybe. So I've gone to somewhere a bit bigger, but I know in New Mexico, in that small town, there was at least like 15 fast food places.
So having both of us lived in Grimsby, your hometown, the town that I've also grown up in, how would you compare it in terms of fast food? What's available where you're living now in comparison to a town like Grimsby, with a significantly less population than where you are now?
Grimsby back home, which is a big place, and we only have like 2 or 3 McDonald's, so it's a lot easier just to walk there, and especially being a student as well, you get a bit lazy sometimes, but I do need to eat well, or else it would take a toll on me with the 6 a.m. gym sessions and the longer days and stuff like that, but yeah, the fast food and the portion sizes are huge and cheap, so...
So I don't want to dive too much into it because obviously finances is quite personal to each person, but you touched briefly on saying scholarships are offered maybe at 50%, meaning you have to pay the other 50%. For you personally, if you want to go into it, how was it offered to you moving from the UK to America? You know, did you have to pay for your flights, your accommodation initially for the first time?
Yeah, so I paid a company, like an agency, which I got discount off from being at Grimsby. So I sent them videos of me playing at Grimsby, and they were like, distribute it. And then the schools would contact me via email saying, we think you're a good player or whatever. And then they would offer me something off that. So I had some schools offer me a full ride. I had full riders, like everything covered. I had some schools offer me 50%. So it depends on the school's budget and the price of the school, so it can go up and down. Like New Mexico is quite like a cheap place, so I'd say the school is about 12,000 for the year, whereas like say if you go to New York, you're looking at maybe like 50,000 for the year. But I know the school I'm at now in Idaho is like a private school, and that's about 30,000, and that's everything covered. I've just got to pay for living off expenses. But
how does it work in terms of holiday times then? Because I assume maybe Christmas, birthdays, even Easter, you might want to visit home, but can that all rack up, or does it get paid for you? Do your parents help? How does it work out for you personally?
When I first came out to America, I did have to pay for my flights and come back at Christmas, which a return flight from I usually fly London to Dallas, and that's probably about maybe £600, depends how early I book it. So it's always nice to come back and see your family at Christmas and stuff like that. So it's definitely something I'll always pay.
As we slowly wrap up, obviously you're only 20, you're still ridiculously young, especially in the world of football or soccer. And this is such a tough one. I know I'm putting you on the spot here with this, but where do you want to go from here? Where do you see yourself going? What are your ambitions?
Yeah, hopefully, obviously, I'll graduate with a degree to fall back on. So I'll always have that. But my aspirations are still to play at a professional level. And worst comes to worst, say I did maybe get an injury and stuff like that. That's why I did come out to America, because you'll leave with a degree as well. But my aspirations are still to try and make it out professionally in America, or maybe come back home and try and make it professional again back out there. So that definitely is still my aspirations and still something I work towards every day.
All right, and that's everything. Thank you, Emil. I really appreciate your time coming on today, and we wish you all the best for the upcoming season when you get going again.
So there you have it. 3 different athletes in 3 different sports. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to the American Way mini podcast series, and we hope to bring you more soon. Please be sure to follow all of our socials at The American Way on Instagram and Twitter. I've been William Lowley alongside Ollie Burke and Elliot Jefferson. Thank you for listening to the American Way podcast.